Praise God. Amen. I'm so excited. You know, this is, I'll launch right into it because I only got a short message tonight, but this is Christmas, and within Christmas, we're going to continue the Christmas story with this titled message called The Gift of Generosity. You know, the true gift is the gift of Jesus Christ to all humanity, that we never, ever, ever forget that that special gift, born in a manger, born where nothing mattered, that the world forgot, the angelic hosts were present, the stable was there, and all the pieces of the puzzle were coming together for the Lord rescuing humanity. And that treasure in that baby gift was what we're going to be talking about tonight. You know, a few weeks ago, I was preaching on and delivering a message of gratitude, and I commingled gratitude with generosity. So this message is going to be a message on generosity. You know, the Bible says this in Proverbs 11:24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy, and the Message Bible says, gets smaller and smaller. I'm imploring you tonight, church, I'm imploring you online, that our world needs to grow larger and larger and larger wherever we're at. And for us to do that, we need to open up this gift and hand out this gift to others, this gift of generosity. You know, as Christmas is approaching and everybody's stuffing their stockings and running around crazy at the malls and stores, the gift truly is the real reason for the season is Jesus Christ. And the marks of generous people are those that are willing to give when they really have no resources or money, where they're unselfish, where they're truly compassionate, where they're open-hearted, where they're giving more than they expect. And essentially, generosity is a character trait that reflects from a selfless person who has the line of sight of God in them to give. I don't believe you can be a healthy Christian without being a generous Christian. Amen. To be a healthy Christian, you need to be a generous Christian. And I'm going to define for you tonight what generosity really is, amplifying it according to the Word of God. You know, I looked this up, and the world's most monetary generous people were, is really the world, the global world, is the United States of America is the most generous country in the world. It's the most generous. I remember I was in Jamaica, and my kids were young then, and I did a horseback ride with them, and when I was, you know, there, one of the attendants, the Jamaicans were there, he was fascinated over that we were a Latino family with a white little girl by the name of Julia, and put her on a horse, and she was there parading around the beach, and he stops me and he says, "You know why I love America?" And I said, "Are you American?" He goes, no, I'm Jamaican. Yeah, man, I'm Jamaican. He says, "But I'll tell you why I love America. Because I notice when there's a tragedy, when there's something globally that is affecting the earth, America is the first one that's present, always." That's from my lens. I'm a nobody. I just hand out horses to people like you that want a fun time on the beach. My observation is your country is amazing. And I agreed with him. I said, "Bravo, I'm glad you." I said, would you like to come? He said, "Boy, the first chance I get, I would love to come to America." That's how generous our country is. But some of the most generous people that have given money are Michael Bloomberg, who gave $1.8 billion to Johns Hopkins University. The Bloomberg Foundation was fundamental in giving this donation. James and Simon Marilyn gave $500 million to the University of New York. Marvin Mann gave $100 million to Samford University, and the largest land donation, check this out, the largest land donation was given by Douglas and Caitlin Thompson, and they were the founders of really, they created a company, well-known brand called North Face. You guys probably know the brand. They gave over 10 million acres of land to Chile and Argentina, a gift. They just donated it. Interesting enough, when they polled people, they were asking this question, what's the most generous gift of all mankind? And at the top of the list, wasn't these founders and these incredible philanthropists that were giving millions and millions of dollars to people? At the top of people's list were the true gift, the greatest gift to all mankind was Jesus Christ. Amen. This was when love met an unforgiving world, and God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that he might give the greatest gift to humanity, and the greatest gift is Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said this in the Gospels, that they were testing the Pharisees about their gift-giving and their monetary tithes and offerings to the temple. And Jesus pointed out a widow with her mite, and he earmarked this widow who had really nothing, but she gave everything in Mark chapter 12, verse 44. She gave all the wealth out of her own poverty. She gave everything that she had to live on. So God landed on a generous person is not someone with means, but someone that gave everything they had at building the kingdom of God. And he landed and smiled upon the widow with her mite. And when no one paid attention, Jesus did. And this is what God needs tonight. That's why the Bible does say in the Message Bible, the world gets larger and larger. So here's the big question for you and me to answer. How do we enlarge our world this Christmas? How do we enlarge this world, our world this coming year? How do we enlarge and be a blessed, abundantly people that will have no need ever, ever, ever if we're doing God's work and building his kingdom? Believe me, this church is headed for that. And I'm prophesying, yes, we've been generous. Boy, all you have to do to see is our outreaches and what we've done throughout the nations. This is a generous church. Make no mistake. Behind the scenes, I know how generous we are. I know what we do on purpose. And in San Bernardino, in a city that is rated, what, the most dirtiest city in the United States, the one that has the less resources, this church is abundant. But I'm declaring prophetically, this church is going to be more abundantly blessed because of their generosity. We're going to extend our borders. We're going to extend our gospel message. We're going to extend the reach of the gospel of Jesus Christ through this church. That's the big question. But how are you going to do it? When we look at this, I was toggled between 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 is that those chapters are married to each other, where Paul is launching a teaching to the church about giving, intentional giving, sacrificial giving, abundantly giving, and he's challenging the church to give more, challenging the church and keeping them accountable to be ready and purposeful giving. And in these two chapters, and it's too much to explain in one evening, but the church and the setting that was going on in these chapters is Paul was gathering a relief fund to the Jerusalem church that were in poverty. Paul's relief fund efforts were aided by the Christian community that faced hardship, poverty, and famine and persecution. Remember, the church is getting persecuted, and people that had high-end jobs were getting persecuted to Jesus Christ, and they had nothing in return because they were taking everything from them. Land, property, everything that they owned, they were being persecuted. So the church of Jerusalem have found themselves in lack. And Paul then brings forth this teaching to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, 1 through 5. And he made a call for us to be generous, or the church to be generous. He says it this way. Verse 1, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that what God did in his kindness has done through the church in Macedonia. They were being tested in their trouble. They were very poor, but they were filled with abundant joy, and they were overflowing with rich generosity. So Paul opens up with an example from a church that was abundantly blessed, but they were in an impoverished position. They were hurting. They didn't have much. They themselves were in need of resource. Yet Paul is latching this teaching on that church as an example for us and for them. And he goes on, he says, I testify that they not only they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. What they did is over their free will, and they begged us again and again, privileged sharing the gift for believers in Jerusalem. So they didn't only do it intentionally, they didn't do it with a calculation of being generous from their own lack. They begged Paul. And the Greek was, they were begging and imploring, please come, let us help that church. Paul knew the situation they were in. Have you ever had a child, maybe recently, that wants a certain item for Christmas and they're bugging you? They got it on the list. They're asking you over and over to check it twice. They said they were not naughty, but they were nice. And they kept on bringing it to the table and bringing it to the table. And they were begging, they're begging the parents to get them something for Christmas. Well, this is in reverse. They were begging Paul to give out of their lack to support a church that was probably in the worst condition that they were in. Think about it. Because we live in a land of excuses, and people say, well, I don't have any money. I don't have any resource. They didn't either, yet they were ready and begging Paul that we'll scrap whatever we can gather because we want to support the gospel message in the Jerusalem church. That's what they did. Verse 5, they did even more than we hoped. And their first action that was given themselves over to the Lord, and then to us, just as God wanted them to do. So they enlarged their generous territory, and they created a space for God to create a large world for them. And that's the message tonight. If we want to live in the land of abundance and generosity, then we will have to be willing to contribute to the kingdom business at whatever the cost. And when we enlarge our territories, God will test us. You know, as I was preparing for this message, I was doing my walk, and it's dark. I wake up early, and I have a little flashlight. And I'm telling the Lord, Lord, you know, please use me, Lord, at any capacity, please use me. Help me to be generous. Help me to be more generous. Find ways to be giving. And just then, a guy in the dark with a black hoodie freaked me out, started walking towards me. And I'm like, you know, have you ever been startled? Like, ooh. You know, so I was doing my walk, and all of a sudden I was startled with this guy. I just got done saying this prayer, and this guy approaches me, and he says, hey, sir, and I thought he was going to want something from me, and, you know, I didn't have anything on me, not even my dog to bite him. So all I had is my little flashlight, and I said, yes, how can I help you? He says, I didn't mean to startle you. I said, well, you're in the dark, you have a black hoodie, and I don't know who you are, so that's why I'm startled. And he said, look, I broke down on the freeway, and I need a jump. Can you help me? And then I thought, you know what, I made it, in a split second, I made every excuse possible. I just got done asking God, use me. I just got done. Man, I'm probably about maybe 45 minutes from my house. And I said, okay, man, here's what I'll do. I'll help you. But it's going to take me 45 minutes to get home, get in my car, get my cables. He goes, I got cables. And then, mind you, he was on the freeway. I said, so then you're going to have to wait. If you can wait, I'll be there. So then I attempted to, you know, say bye, and I seen him, and then he disappeared. I'm like, Lord, was that an angel, and you're testing me? No, he found a break in the fence, and he went. And I was like, freaking out, man, what happened to me? And the Lord was saying, you committed. You want to be generous? It starts now. So then I got home. Told Joanna, hey, you know, I got to go jump this guy on the freeway. Oh, wow, you know, it's a little dangerous. Who? And started asking all these questions. I'm like, you know, I don't even know. I just know this guy was in the dark. He had a black hoodie, and he's broken down. That's all I know. Okay. So then I get in my car, and he thought I wasn't going to come, so he was already walking away. And then he seen me, and he smiled. And I pulled up next to him, and I gave him a jump. And he said, you know, thank you. I've been walking around for about two hours. And I couldn't find anybody. And I said this, I gave you my word, and I came back. Oftentimes, when we're asking God to do something, and I need something, he's going to test us. And he's going to test this church. And he's going to test you as a member of this church of how generous will you be. And that's not just talking about money. Resource, opportunity, time, investment. How long did it take me? 45 minutes to give this guy to jump, and I didn't have no conditions. I decided to do it, and after the Lord was, I know the Lord was pleased with me committing to him first and saying yes to that man, because boy, that guy was grateful that I got him off the freeway. Now, for us to enlarge our generous territory, we need to, number one, be looking for opportunities to be generous. Looking for opportunities to be generous. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 and 5 said they begged us again and again. It was a privilege of sharing the gift. They did even more than we hoped for. Sometimes we need to look for opportunities. The Bible says this in toggling to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. It is more blessed to give to and receive. Paul had the lens of Jesus where he said, you know, I remember Jesus saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we got it all fouled up this Christmas. We're looking for stuff when we need to be giving out more. We need to be generous people. We need to be looking for people's needs. We need to be looking for people that need salvation. We need to be asking God, who do you want me to talk to give the gift of life to? Who do you want me to help? Which neighbor do you want me to invest in? Which one do you want me to say hi to? Which one do you want me to be a generous person and a kind person to? What kind of people do you want us to be? You want us to be intentional, opportunistic people that are provide generosity to the whole filled, sickened world that needs Jesus Christ. It said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. They were eager to help. In fact, it was their enthusiasm that stirred up the many, the Bible says, in Macedonia. You know, this was infectious in that Macedonian church. People started to take notice at the generosity in their impoverished condition, yet they were mounting. I don't know what they were doing. Collecting cans, I don't know what they were doing. But they were doing something to fan the flame of generosity, and they made no excuse that I don't have, because in Jesus Christ they felt they had, and Jesus Christ was the sole source of their opportunity to be blessed, and they were looking for someone to bless. They were enthusiastic, the Bible says. What an amazing formula. Great affliction, deep poverty, plus grace equals abundant joy and bounting with liberty. What an amazing journey. One theologian called it grace giving. They were looking for grace giving. Grace giving means giving in spite of circumstances. Grace giving means grace freely bestowed on us, that God delivered us from our sin, and freely we give ourselves to others. Grace, the grace of God will open up your heart and open up your hand simultaneously. That's grace giving. When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, it's a natural reflection that God gave his son to the world, then we need to be a giving people. Grace means an open hand, an open heart, and we're liberally giving to everyone that needs. Wow. Their giving was not a combination of cold calculation and excuses, but a heartfelt jubilation of joy. We need to look for more opportunities. There was a story of a young boy who was with his mom at a store, and at the store he seen a candy jar, and the shopkeeper of the store looked at this boy looking at the candy, and he was like, "Hey, you want a candy, little boy? You can have one." The little boy just looked at him, looked at his mom, and stayed silent. And mom kept tending shopping, and then shopkeeper said, "You know what, little boy, you know, I've seen you looking at this candy jar. Do you want a candy?" And the little boy just hesitated again, didn't say nothing. Finally, the mom said, "Hey, look, he's asking you, do you want some?" He said, "Go ahead, take." And he just looked. So then the shopkeeper just got frustrated and says, "You know what? Here." He put his two hands in that candy jar and gave it to the little boy. And he says, "Go, take your hands and put it in the candy jar. And this is all yours." And on the way home, his mom said, "Hey, son, that shopkeeper has to ask you twice before you took the opportunity to give." He said, "Mom, I was just waiting for the right opportunity." He goes, "What opportunity?" He said, "You've seen how little my hands are. The shopkeeper's hands were far more bigger than mine, or larger than mine. I was just waiting for the right opportunity." What a wise little boy. This little boy was looking for an opportunity. How about us? As God gives us opportunity, let's not say no. How do we enlarge this gift of generosity? By keeping our commitments. We have to keep our commitments. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 3 through 5, "But I'm sending you these brothers," the continuation of that teaching in chapter 8, now chapter 9. He says, "But I'm sending you these brothers to be sure that you really are telling them that you have the money that you've collected." So Paul is saying this to the Corinthian church: "You said you wanted to give. I'm sending these two brothers that are associates of mine to keep your accountability to what you promised a year ago." He was keeping their obligation. He was keeping them accountable. He says, "I'm telling you, the money that you collected, I don't want to be wrong about my boasting of you, or be embarrassed, not mentioning, or be embarrassed of some that the Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready after all." That's what he didn't want to do. He didn't want them not to be ready. So he was sending others to help them to be ready. In verse 5, he says this. So these brothers are going ahead of you, and make me sure of the gift that you promised is ready. I want it to be a willing gift, not give grudgingly. We have to keep our commitments. Another situation, it just happened recently. Again, I was going on my walk, and I seen this man, and he does this every morning. I don't know why. He has two bags and a pickup stick, you know, one of those grabbers. And he walks the whole neighborhood. One bag he puts in trash, and the other bag he puts in cans. And I was walking one day, and the Lord said, I want you to bless that man. I'm like, I don't even know that man. He says, I want you to bless that man. Remember, I'm talking about keeping the commitments. And I let this commitment swirl around my head and my heart, and I always gave excuses. I didn't have anything on me. I don't think he takes Zelle. I mean, all this crazy stuff was in my head. And the Lord said, you know, then prepare yourself. Be ready. So I got everything ready, and I started from a walk, and sometimes I see him and sometimes I don't, and I seen him. And I had to run across the street, and I said, hey, you know, I've often greeted you, but now I want to meet you. I said, what's your name? And he said, my name is Scott. I said, Scott, you know, I'm just doing and being obedient to what God wants. And he's like, his eyes open up real big. And I said, you know, I don't know what he thought I was going to ask him. I said, why do you get paid to clean up the community? Because actually you clean it up pretty nice. He says, no, I have to walk. And this gives me a good excuse to walk. So I just pick up trash and pick up cans every morning. And I know I see you. I said, well, I'm going to do something. And I pulled out a monetary gift. And I said, this comes with no strings attached, Scott, because I committed to the Lord and I promised him that I would bless you. And if you never say hi to me again, or if I don't ever meet you, this is a no strings attached thank you for doing this for our community. And I blessed him. And he started to cry. And I felt the goodness of God in my act of obedience. I felt God do something so supernatural that morning to me because I gave God an opportunity to bless that man who didn't know me and didn't know why I came, and didn't, he would see me and say hi. And one day, you know, he walked close to me and my dog almost bit his head off, and I felt so sorry for him. But I'm imploring you, like God challenged me, he wants to challenge you. Because this gift, when I walked away from him, he said this, Merry Christmas. Thank you. We walked away. Now, I don't know why God wanted me to do that. I just know he wanted me to do that. I don't know why Paul wanted to mount such a huge gift for Jerusalem other than to help them, but he implored the church that keep your commitment. If you said you were going to do something, do it. You know, I still give to FFOF, even though that campaign went out a long time ago. Why? Because I'm keeping my commitments to the promise I made to the Lord. And some of us want to be abundantly blessed, but we need to give ourselves to the Lord. We need to give opportunity for him to use you supernaturally, even if it hurts you to do it. Even if it's uncomfortable, like meeting a stranger that I didn't even know. Now, I'm not going to tell you where I walk, because you might be waiting for my gift. Just kidding. We need to keep our commitments to be generous. Number three, we need to give ourselves fully to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 says this, they did more than they hoped for, than their first action was given to themselves, to the Lord first, then to us, and God granted them to do. And that's the plan right there. First give yourself to the Lord, then to us, then God will do. First to the Lord, then to us, then God will do. That's the process. First give yourself to Jesus Christ. He can care less about your money. Give yourself to Him. Give yourself to Him. Then give yourself to the needs of the house. Then God will bless you and amply supply. I venture to say, every giver, every donor to this house lacks nothing, because God amply supplies abundantly, over expectantly, what they even thought and hoped for. Because they were giving God an opportunity. For ourselves, God wants to give us this issue and have an abundant supply for every need, but He wants to do it through you first. Will you give over to God this Christmas? As your family gathers and the people are grabbing for tamales and everything good to eat, will you take time to ask God, who of these individuals do you want me to bless? Who do you want me to thank? Who do you want me to invest in? Who do you want me to give an encouraging word to? Who do you want me to pull aside and say, man, you rock it. I want to bless you today. Who? Ask God. Watch Him. Watch Him work through your families. Watch Him work through your community. Watch Him work through you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 14 and 15 says, right now you have plenty, and you want to help those that are in need, but later you might not have, will have plenty and could share with those that are in need. In the same way, these things are equal. Those, as the scripture says, those who gather a lot have nothing left over, and those who gather only a little have enough. There's a story of Ocilla McCartney. She was a powerful individual. She dropped out of school when she was sixth grade. She cared for her aunt because she was ill. She never went back. She spent more than 75 years as a washwoman. It was before the days of washers and dryers and all this other stuff. She washed people's clothes. And she did it for 75 years, doing laundry, ironing clothes for families all over Mississippi. She was taught frugality by her grandmother. She never owned a car. She never subscribed to a newspaper. At the fine age of 86, she saved more than $200,000 because she was so frugal. She didn't have much. She went to church. She tithed. She would go to church, and people would give her rides. She didn't own a car. She didn't even have a house until her uncle gave her a house when he was passing. She really owned very little. She had a black and white TV and a radio. She said, God supplies all my needs. I don't need stuff. At 86, she decided to retire, and the bank said, hey, you have over $200,000 in a trust. She says, I want you to give $150,000 of that money to the local university, and I want you to find people that don't have enough money for education and bless them. So she decided to. Well, it activated something in the student body, and people started taking notice. Before too many years went on, before she passed on in 1994, she figured that the money would do better, a lot good for others than me. I'm too old to get an education, but they're not, so I'm going to give them an opportunity. The word spread about her generosity, and donors stepped forward, matching her gift, creating a fund called the McCartney Fund, and she received the Citizen Medal of Honor from President Clinton and became a subject of a children's book, and she became an inspiring story for the media mogul Ted Turner to invest $1 billion through the United Nations because of her. She said, I can't do everything, but I could do something to someone. And what I can do, I will do. And she was heard to say this, "But I could have did more." Her story should challenge us. Her story should get us motivated. Like the Corinthian church, where Paul challenges this, the farmer who plants only a few seeds gets a small crop, but the one who plants it generously will get a generous crop. How much seed do you want to sow to be a generous person? How much seed do you want to plant in the ground to give God glory? It's not about money. It's about intentional. It's about obedience. It's about recognizing the kingdom of God needs to be invested in and needs you and me to do it. And if we don't step up, who is? The billionaires of this world have lost it. They don't care for the church. They don't care for kingdom business. It's this lady who went to a Baptist church that had a heart of gold and said to herself, "I was taught these principles of saving, and I have more than enough to live on, and the rest is someone else who couldn't, so they can." That's the opportunity. That's the gift. And number four, they give... that Paul was challenging to give with the right heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says that you need to decide with the right heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly. That each should give according to what they've decided in their heart, verse 7. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. So the question is, what's the consequences of their generosity? Paul answered it in two things in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. Two things, he said. Two things will result in the ministry of being generous. Two things, and two things will be a result of our ministry of generosity to people that have been forgotten. Believe me, this church has remembered the poor and will continue to the poor. But this church will be motivated to do more for the poor. And more for the brokenhearted, and more for the limping, and more for the maimed and the blind. Because this church has a mission focus to be a generous church, but abundantly supplying, because God will supply us to supply for them. Amen. That's the opportunity that God gives us. Your obedience is an expression to glorify God. Your obedience of your substance and your resources of sowing life seed will multiply 10 times over. This calibration of living grace power in you to sow what you do not have, to reap what you could never have on your own. What a beautiful concept. They gave out of their affection, overflowing with grace. Verse 14 says, "I thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words." So these two things are this. They were giving the needs of Jerusalem. They were met with joy. The two things were, they were meeting needs, and number two, they were an expression of joy and the joy of God's heart. Those two things. If you're a conduit of generosity, those two things will be yours. You will meet people's needs, and you will express joy to the world. Joy, unspeakable joy. You could be rest assured that the Holy Spirit will use your gift so supernaturally, you will know what happened to it. Where God will do this in through you and on you. That God has given us these opportunities. So what did we learn tonight? That we need to be looking for opportunities to be generous. We need to keep these commitments that we made to the Lord. We need to give ourselves to the Lord first, and we need to do it with the right heart. I'm challenging everyone listening to my voice to step up your generosity. And I'm not just talking money. I'm talking about time. Some of you have time. Some of you are retirees. Some of you could invest in the other, in the younger. Some of you have time, opportunity, gifting. Some of you have tremendous creative ideas that the church needs, that we can't do it all as pastors and church leaders. Some of you have time to volunteer. I can't tell you, over GNO, it made my heart full not to see the back end of the volunteer team at this church, to see how graciously they're giving and they're running their companies and they're being supplied generously, contracts, gifts, and surprises. One brother had me crying at the table over there as I was talking to him and saying, man, you know what? I was in prison a few years ago. God cut me loose. This month, I'm signing a $1 million contract. Pray for me. My business is succeeding because of Jesus Christ. That's what's happening in this house. God is raising up business owners, creative people, young people, people that don't have, people that do have, to be a generous, abundant church, to get the job done before he comes, because he's going to need all of us, including me, including you. He needs to do it through us. Pastor Dan didn't say this, hey, Pastor Jawal, I want you to preach on a Sunday night and tell them they need to give. He didn't tell me that. He actually gives us the liberty to ask the Lord to see what we need to come up with. Well, Pastor, you're on staff. It's to your advantage that you give because it comes back to you. No. Make no mistake. I come from a legacy of generous givers. You know how stuff happens on your phone, and all of a sudden an image of my mom came up with wings. We lost my mom year 2000, and I just lost it. Because she's no longer with us. She can't see our new grandbabies be born. And I thought about my mom and dad, and I thought about what they've done, and I thought about the legacy and the inheritance they left me. I remember on a pastor's gathering, I bumped into Pastor Jim once, and my dad was here in a suit. He was no longer pastoring. He was retired, but he loved the pastor's gathering. He loved this church. And Pastor Jim told me, hey, you know, he really loves you. All he does is talk about you. I said, I know. But let me tell you something about my dad. He's never traveled the world. He's never stayed in a 5-star hotel. Never had the luxuries of life, barely owned a little house. They hadn't had a lot. But they have sowed. And they've invested. Pastor Jim says, let me stop you, Joel. Your dad is going to have a bigger mansion than me in heaven. That's where I come from. I've seen my parents, I've seen Joanna's parents, in dire poverty, yet they're willing to serve sacrificially to anybody that knocked. That's why we do what we do. I'm stepping on the shoulders of giants, including Pastor Jim and Deborah. I would have you in tears if I told you their stories of sacrificially giving time and time and a time to build this house. They did it in pain, they did it in agony, they did it when it mattered most, and they did it out of sure obedience, and they did it for no recognition. I remember they got mad. Remember they got mad when they put their name on that wall? The Cobra Center? No, they don't need to do that because I've been saying for years, Joel, the only name they need to know is Jesus Christ, not Jim Cobra. And he meant it. We're standing on the shoulder of giants, and this is why I say in prayer time, I stand on the platform of grace. This is a grace pulpit. Grace built this pulpit, not man. God did. And when we step on this platform of grace, he gives us the divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. And I confess, even tonight, I can't deliver the message God wants, but God will. And God will do it through you. Pastor, I have, oh my God, all my resources have been used up for Christmas. Why don't you pray for the Lord of the harvest to give you more? Stop living in the land of lack and eliminate yourself. The barriers and boundaries are limiting you. God wants more from all of us. There is more, more, more for you, my friend, for your families, and for your grandkids. Grandkids will be blessed. But you need to sow that seed of obedience first. I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you online. I'm challenging myself. Let's look for these opportunities. Let's make no excuses. Let's go after everything God wants us to. He will provide. I really believe this next year, this building is going to be paid off supernaturally. I don't know how, but it will. I'm telling you, gifts and surprises, finding money all over. Why would I say these kind of things? To be wrong? No. I believe God is using me to execute this word to you tonight. God wants to launch this church into a generous harvest of souls, of supernatural broken people, and this house will be filled with people that are in dire poverty and have nothing, but they need Jesus, and we'll give it to them. That's what this, the foundation of this church is. That's why this message in Christmas is so supernatural. God, give us the great gift of Jesus Christ. We can't waste it. He's coming soon. He's coming soon, church. That baby in the manger grew up and he died for all our sins. And I'm talking to you tonight. I'm going to take a little pause. Everyone bow their heads and close their eyes. I don't know who you are. And I don't know what your story is, but God knows. There is something burning inside of you tonight. And it's not just the message. It's a need for Jesus Christ. And if I was to ask you tonight, do you know him? And where would you be if you met death's door and somehow you died? I mean, I read in the news every day that people die of car accidents, diseases, famine, crisis, random acts of violence. So I need to ask you this question. It's a supernatural question, and it comes with demanding an answer from you, actually. Where would you be if you stand before the Lord? What would you say? See, the question needs to be framed this way. Where would you be? Would you be in heaven or hell? If you do not know where you need to go, you need to answer that question. Well, you might say, you know, Pastor, I've been listening to your message. You know, I've given to the church. I'm not asking if you've given. I'm not asking if you put money in an offering plate, or you supported an orphanage, or supported water wells, or supported great causes, especially in Christmas, or give a dime or change to those buckets outside your grocery store. I'm glad you do those things, but nowhere in the Bible it says that you will find heaven for your act of generosity. I didn't even say that tonight. I'm glad you're a generous person. I'm glad you give to charities. Nowhere in the Bible it says that you will find heaven that way. You might say, hey, I've been brought up in church, you know. I mean, my mom and dad took me to catechism, and I studied. I was going to become an altar boy, and I did all the liturgy, and I recited the Lord's Prayer. I wasn't even going to become an altar boy. Nowhere in the Bible it says if you do those things that you will find heaven. Nowhere, nowhere, nowhere in the Bible. You might say, you know, I think I'm going to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you can think your way to heaven. No one can think their way to heaven. If I'm a good thinker, if I'm a good communicator, if I'm presentable and I know what to do and I'm gifted and talented, nowhere in the Bible it says if you're gifted and talented, you're going to make your way to heaven. How Hollywood preaches that gospel. and they're wrong. Oh, they've donated this actor that passed away donated all kinds of charities to lost animals and forgotten creatures of the planet. Nowhere in the Bible it says. People like that will get into heaven, but the world has said and sold to you that you can get to heaven that way. As a matter of fact, Hollywood or the internet or blogs on the internet, they have no clue of how to get to the Bible, how to get to heaven. But the Bible knows how to get to heaven. In John chapter 3, there's a man by the name of Nicodemus who is better than you and better than me, better than all of us put together. And that man was challenged by Jesus, and that challenge was this. Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And this religious man and good man and a holy man said, "What do you mean, Jesus?" And he says, "What does that mean? Do I need to regress as a child and become an infant and go into my mother's?" He goes, no, Nicodemus, what's born of the flesh is flesh, and what's born of the spirit is spirit. I need your spirit to be born again. And he recalibrated Nicodemus's mindset with that you need to believe in me. I am the Son of God and the Savior of humanity and the Savior of your soul. So tonight I need to ask you this question. Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you headed for heaven? Had you one time said a prayer but didn't follow it back with your life? You just said it and never lived it? I'm talking to you. If you're on campus online and you do not know, you clearly, I do not know if I can go to heaven. I'm talking to you. If you're not sure, you need to be sure. So I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I'm going to hit my hand and I'm going to have you raise your hand, and I want you to commit to believe and receive in Jesus Christ. Pastor, why do I have to do this publicly? Because everybody that Jesus called when he was on this earth called them publicly. He said that they need to come forth, leave everything, and follow. And that's what I'm asking tonight. One, if you're running from God instead of to God, I'm talking to you. I don't know who you are. Two, if you're not sure, be sure. Three, if you need to be born again, raise your hand. Anybody here? Anybody here? I see one hand. Anybody else? I know there's more than one. Two? Two hands. Three hands. Anybody else? Four? Anybody else? Come on, God's calling you. He's calling you forth right now. The Spirit of God is on you. Five. He's on you. Six. He's on you. He's on you. Come on, accept the generous gift of salvation. I'm asking you. This generous gift is yours, but you have to commit to it. Give all your heart and all your life. I see five or six people. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have everybody raise a stand. And as they stand, I want those that raise their hand, come to the front. I want to greet you and I want to pray with you. Come right now. Come right now. Right here. Come right here. Come. If you raise your hand, come. Come right here, all over. I see many hands raised. Come on. Yes, come. I'm opening up the most generous gift given to humanity, and that's the gift of Jesus Christ to you today. You might have been given something very valuable, but nothing like this. This gift will change your life forever and change generations to come. Thank you. Come. Yes, come. But this gift has to be received. I'm glad you raised your hand. I'm glad you came to the front. You need to make a prayer commitment. Why do we make a prayer commitment? Because God wants to hear your mouth commit to Him and keep you accountable to that commitment. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Father God, today's a day that I give you all my heart and all my life. This is the day that you have found me and rescued me. I repent from all that I've done wrong, and I receive this gift of your salvation into my life. Wash me and cleanse me. Today, I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven, and I'm denying hell. This is the day that you've given me new life in this supernatural gift that I will treasure forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. Awesome, 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 awesome. Okay. You made a fresh commitment to Jesus Christ, whether it's a recommitment or a first-time commitment, we want to help you stay committed. Commitment without consistency is no commitment at all. We have friends around you. We call them SBTs. We just charge you with friends. They're here to encourage you, to bless you, to give you some free information. And this information will kickstart why you've come to Christ. Because we answer a question in that room. And here's the question that we answer in that room. What are you going to now do with the Jesus inside of you? Now that He's inside of you, what are you going to do with it? These individuals will help you understand what that gift means and how to amplify and grow that gift inside of you. My friend Matt, he's one of our friends. He's going to take you to the back there and introduce you to this information and to a beautiful community. And if you don't have a church, this is your church. We're putting on our application, okay? Go with our friend Matt. Let's give them a hand. Awesome, 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 awesome. Awesome. Awesome, my brother. Did you get anything out of it tonight? Pastor Teresa.
So incredibly good, necessary. Wow. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. Wow. If you invited one of these people that came forward tonight, your world just got larger and larger. The kingdom just got larger and larger because you invited, because you were generous with your words, with your time. There's so many ways that we can be generous, like Pastor Joel taught us tonight. What an incredible message. Let's all take this. Let's let that seed grow inside of us and look for ways to be intentionally generous in every area of our life. I want to show you ways that we have been generous as a church. We have been generous with our community. We have been generous with those in need. We have extended the beauty and the gift of Christmas to the world around us. Give your attention to the screen.
Hi, everybody. We're here packing for our Christmas outreaches tomorrow, and we just want to say thank you to everybody who's given. Right now, we're packing for our homeless ministry, our Rock in the Streets team, and we already packed for our convalescent ministry. We're just really excited for tomorrow. We know that everything that we're putting our hands to is not in vain, that the Word of God is going out most importantly. They're receiving the gift of Jesus, and then on top of that, we get to show them God's goodness.
Hey, good morning, Rock Church. Douglas and Deborah coming to you live from Madison Grove here in Redlands. One of the awesome convalescent homes that we get to do. We came to this morning with the children's choir to bring the light of the world, Jesus Christ, and passed out gifts, sang songs, preached the gospel, salvations, 12 hands went up. Just an amazing, and that's just one of the homes that we get to do.
It is always a blessing to have the Rock Church helping us in an ongoing prison. We were able to not just give food, drinks, and bless them with a blanket and a kit. It is always a blessing to come to this place, and especially every Christmas, with Pastor Paul and the support of the Rock Church. Thank you so much for what you do.
So I just want to thank you, Rock Church, for always being faithful with your giving. Because of that, we get to do things like we're doing today and show people the true reason for the season, which is Jesus Christ. Thank you, Rock Church, and Merry Christmas.
Wow, incredible. You know, you saw in there, for one of the ministries, it said 1,010 people served. But when you put them all together and we collected all the numbers, over 1,000 people were not just served. 1,000 people gave their hearts and lives to Jesus. The gift is exciting, but the real gift, that their lives are forever changed, that they will spend eternity with God because of your generosity. So incredible. We're going to take a moment right now and have that opportunity to give, to sow financially into the work of the kingdom. And I want to read you a scripture, the one right before the last scripture Pastor Joel read. He read 2 Corinthians 9:12. Verse 11 says this: "Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God." They will. That's what they were doing. They were thanking God with every gift, with every gospel message preached, with every person who prayed a prayer. They were sincerely thanking God for you. Your world got larger with every one of those outreach events. So tonight, if you're ready to give, after hearing that incredible message, there's all the ways to give up on the screen electronically. You can take out your phone. You can use Tap to Give right in front of your seat, or use the app or any one of those ways up there. If you would like to bring a physical gift tonight, our ushers are going to stand so they can serve you. They have envelopes. You can put cash into that envelope, or you can use a credit card and write your information on that envelope. And then in a moment, we'll drop that into the offering bucket. So if that's you, just wave your hand. I see a couple hands there. Ushers, keep your eyes open, and they will get that to you. All right. And as you're doing that and you're preparing the gift, I'm going to go ahead and pray. You can use your phone while I'm praying. You don't have to stop. And you can go ahead and fill out that envelope. Father, I thank you that in the kingdom, generosity breeds generosity. And as we have the opportunity to be generous, to sow financially into the work of the ministry, into the lives of people, into this local house, we know that it's going out from here, blessing the lives of people, spiritually and physically, and they're giving thanks to you, God, for what our obedience does. Father, I thank you for the great opportunity to participate in your work. Lord, we speak a blessing tonight over this offering. I thank you that you're going to take it and multiply, meet the needs of the house, meet the needs of the ministry, and send it out to missionaries all over the world. And we also thank you, Lord, that as we give, Father, that you've promised when we trust you with our tithe, that you're going to take care of ours. Father, we declare that it's the 10%, Lord God, that we take off the top, that 90% is going to spend like 100, 200%, that you're going to make sure, Father God, that all of our needs are met, because you're a God who has no limits. There is no limit in you. And when we trust you, Lord God, you take care of what's ours. So tonight we surrender that to you. We deposit it. We sow it into the kingdom of God. And we say a great big thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, I wanted to wait a couple of minutes before we did this because I know a lot of people went to the back, but I don't think we've welcomed you who are here for the very first time tonight. So if you're visiting, we just want to say hi. We're glad you're here. Would you just wave like that? Just a little, give me a little wave. I'm not going to call you out. I see right here a bunch of hands in the back, right here in the middle, in the back over there, right here also. Just wave like that. That's right. We want to say hi. We're glad you're here and spent this Christmas Sunday night before this Christmas week with us. There's a number up on the screen, and if you would take out your phone and text that number, you'll get a video message from our senior pastors who just want to say hello, introduce themselves, say they're glad that you're here, share a little bit more about our church. You're always welcome to go to the website, learn about our services. We'd love to have you. We have got a service coming up, actually. Wait a minute, I was going to do something else. Oh, if you're here, sometimes you forget. If you're here for the first time, we actually have some information other than the text that we'd love to give you. So if you'd like to get that information, and I'm challenging Chaplain Doug right now because he's going to turn around and do this for me. Wave your hand again, and we're going to put some information in your hand. I was trying to get the ushers to do two things at once. That doesn't work. All right, so wave your hand again. I know, okay, over here in the back, I see you right here in the middle. He's right here. Chap's going to just wave and be patient, and he's going to find you. And Isaac's over there also. Thank you, guys. Complicated that a little bit tonight. My apologies. Hey, we've got a couple of announcements before we head out tonight. Tonight is our last light show with the Christmas light. So make sure to hang out after service. I believe there's some coffee and hot cocoa, and enjoy the lights and the music. And so candlelight service is coming up Tuesday night, Christmas Eve. We're going to gather right here. This whole stage is going to be lit up. It's going to be absolutely stunning. We're going to take communion together. Come, bring your family, bring your friends, and we're doing it really early, 5 o'clock, so then you can go home and have Christmas Eve with your family after. That's Tuesday night, 5 o'clock. We will not have Wednesday night service this week. We always have Wednesday night service, but because it's Christmas Day, we're going to gather on Christmas Eve. You spend Christmas Day with your family and friends, but you can join us here next weekend for services. And then we have a prayer and praise on New Year's Day. The following Wednesday, we will be back here again with a prayer and praise service. Let's pray in the new year together. That following weekend, January 4th and 5th, the first weekend of the new year, we've got Apostle Mike Keyes, who will be with us in the morning services. And then we've got a special healing service for the gift of God that's on his life. And as it deals with healing, he will be here Sunday night at 6 p.m. So start off your new year with radical faith. Come get encouraged by Apostle Mike Key's amazing message and experience the healing power of God that first weekend of 2025. What a way to kick off 2025. We've got a promo video for you, and then Pastor Joel will be right back.
My favorite part about this school is that I get to see my friends every day, and they've learned new things too, and I have too.
To see them on their own amongst their peers, learning to grow and begin to develop a love for God and for his word and just for all the things that God would want us to do as Christians, it's just been something very tremendous, and I'm beyond blessed to be able to witness that in my own child.
Learn, grow, and thrive in a godly environment. The Rock Christian School is now enrolling K through 12th grade. Apply today at rockchristianschool.com.
Amen. I'd like everybody to stand, pronounce a blessing over you. You know, as you gather with your families, please, 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 be generous to them. Forgive them, love them, serve them, and be a blessing to them. I believe if you do that supernaturally, God will invest all kinds of good things coming your way. So let me pronounce a blessing. Father God, I bless your people. By your stripes, they are healed. Everybody that's in campus online. Father God, if they're in lack, meet their need. If they don't have enough, that they seek the supplier, Jesus Christ, that he will abundantly supply every need according to the riches in Christ Jesus. And I pray that the Rock Church and World Outreach Center will be generous, and the people will generously flow abundant blessing and grow their houses, their tents, their borders to expansive territories where generations will be blessed. And I pronounce this blessing on the Rock Church. Bless in the city, bless in the field, bless coming, bless going. And what they touch, they will prosper. And then the inland empire shall be saved. God bless you.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.